Paddy Power are offering a money-back special in one race every day at Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival. That's one race at Goodwood and Galway every day this week. Check out our app for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi, folks, and welcome to Goodwood as we look ahead to day four of the Glorious Festival. A little later on, we'll be going over to Galway to look at their action on the Friday of the Galway Festival. First up then, Goodwood, and joining me here, Lee Mottishead at Goodwood. We've got Jack Haynes from the Racing Post and from our lovely sponsors, Paddy Power, Mr. Paul Binford. And Paul and I looking almost like twins today in our cream linen.
Listen, Lee, when I found out that you were wearing that suit to Goodwood, I went straight out and bought a similar one, because you are, in the press room, you are known as a bit of a fashion guru.
Well, there's no denying that, of course, and it's very sweet of you, because you've got to be careful, haven't you, with your egg yolks. You can't afford any sort of dribble or loose action.
Absolutely, definitely don't buy a pint of Guinness at Goodwood, because if that tumbles, you're in trouble.
Yes, indeed. And in a seamless link then, from a pint of Guinness to our first race on day four at Goodwood, it is the Bombay Sapphire Glorious Stakes. And I had a very nice Bombay Sapphire on Tuesday evening after, and it was absolutely delicious. Good race this. Paul Hadley back.
Well, just quickly, Lee, I must just say...
Have you got some specials for us?
No, I must just say it's great to be joined by one of the Racing Post's young talents. Great young talents. Tony McFadden.
Humorous intervention there from Mr. Binfield.
Yeah, it wasn't really.
No, it's very good.
Anyway, we go 2-1 Mirage Dancer, 11-4 second step, 3 Red Verdon, 13-2 Eminent, and it's 12-1 Bar.
Okay, a number of these might be potential candidates for a trip to Melbourne in the autumn, their spring. One, I suppose, could be Mirage Dancer. Jack, how do you assess the race?
Really tricky and trappy event, Lee, I thought. Horrible start for punters. I've backed Mirage Dancer a few times, backed him at Royal Ascot. He was slightly unlucky. I think he would have been placed at best, but he suffered a bit of interference. And I backed him last time, really expected him to win. So I was slightly disappointed on the day, but in hindsight, it was a fine effort. I'm sticking with him. Mainly, I've looked at the other runners, trying to take him on. You've got 3 7-year-olds down the bottom who are unlikely to be improving. Blakeney Point has a bit to find on ratings. And Eminent, up to 1.5 miles, is... I would have to be doubtful whether that would suit him. Red Verdon would definitely have a chance. He's been running well all through the season, but as you said, Melbourne Cup may well be on his agenda. So I'm sticking with Mirage Dancer, but it's only a tentative selection, really.
Okay, Paul, Jack backed Mirage Dancer last time at Newmarket. I backed Mirage Dancer last time at Newmarket. Did you back Mirage Dancer last time at Newmarket?
I didn't, actually, Lee. Right. No, but I have backed a hell of a lot of losers in my life, but I didn't back that one.
Well, you've lived a few years, haven't you? Well, you expect to have backed a few by now.
Well, I've had a couple of winners. But anyway, I disagree with Jack, though. I think Eminent is the selection for me. I think he might be suited by 1.5 miles. He's only tried the trip once before. He was beaten, finished fourth in the Derby, 3/4 length behind a cracking little horse called Cracksman. This race is quite tight on official ratings. He's only a couple of pounds behind Mirage Dancer. So I think Bon Viveur, Mr. Martin Mead, could enjoy a glass of wine at Glorious Goodwood tomorrow.
Just expanding on this, Paul, the Bon Viveur thing. How do you know that Martin doesn't go to bed with a cup of Aberdeen at 9 p.m?
Well, I went to a stable visit at his yard when he was in Newmarket last year, and it was a tremendous visit. We saw some good horses, including Eminent, and then he provided us with a lunch from a personal chef, and he had a glass of wine. So I'm just guessing that Mr. Mead is a Bon Viveur.
A bit like Keith Floyd was.
I don't know who Keith Floyd
is. Don't know who Keith Floyd is?
No.
You remember the chef, Keith Floyd?
Keith Floyd, no, don't know him.
Do you know who Keith Floyd was?
No.
Producer Sam, not if you know. Right, okay, moving on. Second race then on day two is another Group 3 contest. This one, the Thoroughbred Stakes. Paul looks tight at the head of the market.
Yes, indeed, Lee. We can't separate Regal Reality and Fredding. They're both 3-1 chances. And it's 7-2, 3.4, 11-2. Glorious Journey, 6 Sestilio, and it's 14 the rest.
Okay, Jack, the Thoroughbred Stakes, the floor is yours.
I really like Ostilio. Good price, 6-1, I think. Group horse disguised as a handicapper, as we've seen in the Britannia last time. A really impressive performance from the front. On ratings, he has a bit to find with a few of these, but I think he's thoroughly progressive and he can make the step up to this grade.
Okay, so Britannia winner for Jack. What about you, Paul?
I'm going to go for Threading for Mark Johnston. I read a lovely piece that's in the Racing Post last week with Mark Johnston on Sunday. I think your pullout on a Sunday was better when it was an actual pullout.
Hang on a minute.
No, but it's still a very excellent production. And that interview with Mark Johnston was great. And he said that Threading was entered in the Sussex and the Lennox, but this race looks absolutely ideal for her. And the second to Alpha Centauri in the Coronation Stakes reads very well indeed.
Okay, marvellous. And as we end this half with that scathing criticism from Mr. Binfield, we take a commercial break.
Paddy Power are offering a money-back special in one race every day at Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival. That's one race at Goodwood and Galway every day this week. Check out our app for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to Goodwood, where I can feel the left side of my face burning as we speak. It's ever so warm here. Race 3 is the big handicap on day 4 this year. It's the Unibet Golden Mile. And Paul Binfield, big fan of the RP Sunday. How'd you bet?
Yeah, buy it every week, Lee. We have an extra place in this, 5 places. Paddy's Generosity is coming out. Yes. It's 11-2 seniority, 6 Escobar, 10 Master of the World and Fire Brigade, 12 South Seas, Firmament and Cape Byron, and it's 14 bar.
Okay, just a little bit of statistical information here. This is in some ways the biggest draw race of the week. In the last 10 years, only 2 horses have won this with what is now a double figure draw. The numbers were flipped around a few years ago, so what was a high number became a low number. But basically, the last 10 years, you need to be drawn low, which is on the inside against the fence, shortest way around. And also, if you're drawn high, you have more of the hill to climb from the stalls. That then is the draw information. The winner is provided by Jack Haynes.
Is it? Yeah. Well, I'm liking 2 of David O'Mara's here. One of them I keep backing, and he keeps being beaten.
You say Firmament.
Yeah,
Isn't he frustrating?
A bit of a cliff horse. He's definitely another big handicap in him, but just unlucky in running, and just keeps panning out against
painful.
Him. But so he's in the back of my mind. He's my kind of second choice, but my main pick for this is Escobar.
Yeah.
Drawn really well. Stall 2. He's very much an improving type. He ran really well here when he was trained by Hugo Palmer last year behind Beat the Bank. I think he's got a really solid chance.
Yeah, really solid chance, Escobar. Should be finishing strongly. I like South Seas as well. Paul, if it is going to be a double-figure candidate, I think South Seas could be the one. You like that one, do you?
Yeah, quite a bit. I prefer Shady McCoy for Ian Williams and Rob Havlin. Ran very well in the Bunbury Cup there, second in that. Then finished 10th in last Saturday's International Stakes at Ascot, which on paper doesn't look particularly thrilling, but second of 11 in that group, so I think Shady McCoy could go close.
And a decent price.
Decent price, yeah. Shady McCoy, 14-1, yeah, double
can't,
figure.
Can't be bad. Now, the whiz race, the whoosh race of Glorious Goodwood is the King George Stakes. Comes up at 3:35, in which Batash was so impressive 12 months ago. What price is Batash 12 months on?
Well, 6-5 favourite, Lee, and we're money back all losers if Batash wins. So
every one of them?
Yeah, every one of them. Yeah, I'm going to tell you in a minute what I think Batash will win. And I don't usually tip favourites. 7-1 Havana Grey and Catchy, 9 Sioux Nation and Heartache, 12 Mr. Lupton and Take Cover, that great stalwart down here, and 14-1 bar.
Okay, listen, let's not keep listeners or viewers in suspense. Explain to us why you're so confident about Batash.
It's not very original, Lee, but Batash was impressive in this when last year when winning the race. I think second in the Kingstand Stakes to a lovely horse in Blue Point is certainly good enough to take this event. And as I said, I'll be surprised if he gets beaten.
Are you in any way concerned that his sort of form figures, ratings-wise, this season have been a little bit less than those peak performances last year here and at Chantilly?
Not really, Lee. I think, you know, he won first time out when he probably wasn't, 100%. Charles would have left something to work on. And
Charles
would have left something to work on. And as I say, second in the King's Stand, that's top-class form, Lee.
Charles. Are you as bullish about Batash as Binners is?
I am, and I was stood here last year strongly opposing him, and he made me look like a bit of a tit, really. So
bit of a what?
A tit.
I'm not sure. Hang on, producer Sam, nod or shake it. Oh, he's giving a thumbs up to
the tit.
Yeah.
But I'm with him this year.
The Racing Post, you lot.
Well, and you know,
get away with that sort of thing.
And my mother was always, she used to get nauseous, God rest her soul, if there's any sort of swear word. She couldn't stand swearing. Yeah. And I always sort of take the Thora Heard line in that I try and avoid it.
I've never
possible.
Heard you swear, Lee, actually, to be honest.
No, I'm quite... I fell over on Trundle Hill yesterday.
Did you
and
swear?
I did. Well, I fell on my broken arm. So it did what it was...
Is it broken?
It is, yeah. I've got a non-displaced radial head fracture.
Oh, my God.
But I'm still wearing my linen. Sorry, Joe, what were you saying?
I'm not sure. I always have slight reservations with him because he always gets wound up and you kind of get the sense that he might run his race before the start. But even though he's not been hitting the top level of form this year, he's still been running really well and he's without doubt the best horse in the race. So I'm sticking with him.
Okay, at the minute, what price again, Binners?
6-5, Lee.
At 6-5, Jack, would you be a punter at 6-5 then?
I would be, but if it was go odds on, I'd probably just be a watching brief.
Okay, so that then is the King George Stakes wrapped up. Guys, before we head across to Ireland, anything else we like in the last three races on Friday? Paul?
Well, we have a couple of extra place races, Lee, I should mention. In the 4:40, we're four places, the Oak Tree Stakes. In the 5:15, we're four places, an extra place there. In the Oak Tree Stakes, I quite like Could It Be Love. She has become a bit of a bookies horse. She's been beaten as a favourite the last three times, but her second in the Irish Guineas behind Alpha Centauri would give her a massive chance, and I think this could be a good bit of placing by Aidan O'Brien.
Excellent. And Jack?
I'm liking the look of Roger Varian's Howman in the concluding handicap. The form of his most recent win at Yarmouth is working out exceptionally well already. There's only four runners in there. The third, Jazil, won well at Sandown, and the fourth's won at Doncaster. Howman only went up £2 for that win, so I think he's really fairly treated and he's got an excellent chance.
Excellent. Okay, guys, that then pretty much wraps up our look ahead to day four at Goodwood, apart from your naps. I'm going to say Red Verdon in the first race because I've abandoned now Mirage Yarn, so I'm too frustrated, Jack. What's your nap on day four?
I'm going to go for Ostilio in the Thoroughbred Stakes.
Ostilio for Jack Haynes in the Thoroughbred Stakes. Paul Binfield of Paddy Power, your nap?
Eminent for the Bon Viveur.
Eminent for the Bon Viveur, and none of the guys have ever heard of Keith Flow, which I think is very regrettable indeed. That then was good. We now move on to Ireland and the team over there previewing day 76 of the Galway Festival.
Paddy Power are offering a money-back special in one race every day at Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival. That's one race at Goodwood and Galway every day this week. Check out our app for more information. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Yes, welcome back to the Racing Postcast. I'm David Jennings and I'm joined by my esteemed colleague, Mr. Justin O'Hanlon, to preview day 5 of the Galway Summer Festival. Yes, it's the end of the marathon. We're in the last 2 or 3 miles at this stage. Justin, how are you feeling?
I'm fresh as a daisy, Jenna. Yeah. Bit better than yourself, I'd say.
No. I didn't burn the candle at both ends as much as I did in previous years. Any drinking at night or... socialising?
Just the odd social. Well, I'm staying a fair bit out of town now, but and that's quite on purpose to avoid all the reprobates in the city. But yeah, a couple of social pints here and there, you know yourself.
They call that experience, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so day 5 of the Galway Summer Festival. The feature race is the Guinness Handicap, worth €100,000 in prize money. And Justin O'Hanlon, Willie Mullins certainly seems to hold the key here. He's got Limini collared late on in the Connacht Hotel Handicap earlier on in the week. He's also got Gustavus Vasa, he's got Nessun Dorma, he's got Law Girl. He's going to win it, isn't he? But with what?
Will he win it, though? That is the question.
I see what you did there.
I think he has three. He has three for Rich Ritchie alone, doesn't he? Limini, I'd probably fancy Limini maybe a little bit more over this mile and a half than over the 2 miles the other night, which seemed maybe to stretch her stamina a little bit on the flat. But it's an open race. I noted about five in this race that have a chance. And there's plenty of stakes for him in this race as well, John, if you look at it. Top weight is Gustavus Vasa. He's gone up a stone for finishing second in two good handicaps, which is obviously very unfortunate. I think Limini is the best of Willie's in the race. But you look at others down there a little bit lower down the handicap. The likes of Princess Yiza of Gavin Cromwell's, who love this ground, is coming off a couple of good runs in stakes company for fillies.
Against Sea of Class as well,
and a couple of others. But there's one I think could run a very big race.
Oh, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. What is it?
That is James Cook from Ballydoyle, who's the last time he had soft ground, he beat La Trobe in that Leopardstown Maiden last back end. I don't think he's had his ground all season. And he's performed, I suppose, with as much credit as you might expect. in some of those stakes races that he'd been running in. He's down there off a fairly low weight, and I don't know what the sort of record 3-year-olds have in this sort of race, but he ticks a few boxes. I think he's coming into this race a little bit under the radar. I think he could run a big race, very big race indeed.
Like, if you'd have said probably at this time last year that James Cook would be only rated 97, now I know he won the back end maiden, but he looked a proper group performer when he won that maiden, and maybe this drop in class could bring out the best in him.
It could, and obviously the soft ground is very much in his favour as well. Mm.
Yeah, I actually was at a soft spot for James Cook as well. But the one I thought actually that might run well and might be underestimated is Ness and Dorma, the William Mullins. Him certainly hasn't got the class of Limoney, and if it was a hurdle race, it could be 33-1 against Limoney. But I don't think he's that good of a jumper, and I was quite impressed with him at Ballinrobe last time when he beat Tornado Watch convincingly, was ridden a bit differently there. And Billy Lee is booked. It might look the third or fourth string of the William Mullins stable, but I think Ness and Dorma might be able to outrun his odds in the Guinness handicap. So the two, Justin obviously goes for James Cook, and I'm going to have a flyer each way on Ness and Dorma. So the Galway Blazers handicap chase is at 7.55. Usually for those that haven't managed to get into the plate, and one such horse is Road to Riches, who heads the weights, a former Galway plate winner. Justin, this looks tremendously tricky, but no better man to solve a tremendously tricky puzzle than just Justin O'Hanlon.
Okay, my bookmaker probably would not agree with you. But Road to Riches looks tempting off 140. If he can, he did come back to some kind of form in the Grand National, and off 140 he's tempting, but you'd sort of like to think there might be something a little bit more progressive at this stage. But on saying that, I think I'm going to go for one that probably isn't. You probably wouldn't maybe tick that box. Riviera Sun won the race last year. He's only had a couple of runs since. He's only £5 higher than when he won the race last year. The ground has come in his favour. Barry Geraghty booked to ride for Henry de Bromhead. He could be the answer. Others in the race, obviously Snugsborough Benny, I think it might be one that's going to be...
What did you make of his run the last day?
Well, it wasn't Dennis's finest hour, I suppose we could say that. I think that's about all we can say about it, really. But he's a horse I've always thought was capable of winning a good handicap, and he comes right into it. But you know, if you were to put the gun to the head, I think Riviera Sun might prevail again.
Okay, Riviera Sun for Justin O'Hanlon. And I thought Snugsborough Benny, very, very eye-catching last time, still could have plenty to offer in a race like this where they go very quick up front. Snugsborough Benny for me to pick up the pieces, and Dennis O'Regan to make amends. The 7.25 is the Rockshaw race, usually a really, really interesting affair, one of the races I actually look forward to for the week. But unfortunately, on this occasion, Justin, we're likely to have a long, long, long odds-on favourite in the shape of former classic winner Wicklow Brave.
Yeah, it's a penalty kick if he comes out of the stalls. Or sure, even if he's left 10 lengths, he'll probably still win this. It's an absolute bicycle race.
Even if he ran backwards, he'd probably win it.
Even if we put him on a bicycle, he'd probably still win it, yeah. He can't be opposed.
Okay, so obviously Wicklow Brave looks the one to beat in that disappointing race at 7.25. Justin, there's a couple of other interesting races on the card. Of the others, have you any strong fancies? You've got a lot of notes here.
I have a lot of notes, yeah. I think the first race, the two-year-old auction maiden, is actually a cracking good race. There's plenty here. There's a couple here that that have put in the dark horses over the weeks. And a lot of eyes going to be on Joe Schmidt's Cosmic Horizon for Joseph O'Brien, who reopposes here. Real eye-catching run at Belliestown, where he absolutely fell out of the stalls, came home well to finish fifth. And others in the race says Dermot runs Zunoon, who ran a nice race at Limerick. And there's one newcomer there that caught the eye of Willie McCreary's, called Refulgent Star. Now, probably you wouldn't ideally tip a two-year-old first time out around Galway, but he's owned by Zhang Weisheng, newcomer by Fast Company. He'll love that ground.
Very well pronounced the name there.
Thank you very much.
What was it again?
Zhang Weisheng. Trying to catch me out there. Getting me to repeat the dose, but yeah, he'd probably want to keep an eye out for notebook purposes. But having said all that, Cosmic Horizon and Pepperoni Pete could be the two against the field in that.
Yeah, because Coral Beach is going to make the market here, really.
He should, but and again, as I said about him, if you saw him the time before, I mean, his head was so far back in Shamby's lap, he was nearly blowing him a kiss. So you know, he's opposable, whatever price he goes off it.
Okay, it's a noon for me. I thought it was a really promising run at Limerick. Might have been the greatest maiden in the world, but I thought Zaynoon was being warmed up for a crack at a maiden at Galway, and shows up here. So Zaynoon, number 12. What was your final selection there?
In that race, yeah. I, I, maybe just Cosmic Horizon if it handles the ground.
Okay, and to sum up, anything else? Yeah. Anything else later on the card?
There is an interesting handicap that follows. Dermot Weld runs Hassamia, who has been, contested the Oaks Trail last time and somehow has a mark of 67. Sean Davis, I don't know if he's ever ridden for Dermot before, but he takes £7 off. But he also has Scorpion Black, and McDonough rides that. Up Cash Queens on a hat-trick, seeking mission there. And there's one at the top of Slattery's Could Be Good, who I thought ran a nice race on soft ground the last day at Limerick. But mind you, that was back in April, so they've probably been waiting for the ground for that one.
And the concluding race at 8:25, real competitive affair. Usually the first race in the car, but it's the last race this time on Friday. And I like one at a price here for man of the moment, Mark Enright. I thought Dixie Lee, who is not one of your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 horses that you marked out. I'm going to go for Dixie Lee, who has been laid out for the race. I spoke to Dermot McLaughlin earlier on in the week, and I said, have you won for me for Galway for the week? Come on, Dermot, give me one. And he said, Dixie Lee. Cracking form she's in. She's jumping out of her skin. And rate 127. I think she'll travel lovely. Hopefully get a bit of cover. So Dixie Lee for me.
Well, that's it. She'll travel lovely, but whether she'll get up that hill or not, I wouldn't be entirely sure.
On the Go Again is likely to be favourite here if it doesn't get into the Galway hurdle.
Well, he might. There's one that's come out this morning. I think Ancient Times has come out, so there's a chance he'll get a run. But if he doesn't, then he goes here. I wouldn't look beyond him. But there's one at the bottom there that has a good chance as well. Eddie Cawley's Golden Jewel, who loved that ground. Chris Timmins rides, and he's certainly very much a trainer to respect in handicaps of that nature.
Okay, so there we go. That is day 5 of the Galway Summer Festival. Justin, your best bet on day 5 is?
After all that, I'm going to say James Cook.
James Cook in the feature. Guinness handicap at 6:50, and I'm going to go for Zenoon in the opening maiden at 5:10. So that's it for myself and Justin O'Hanlon here at Galway. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the weekend tipping postcast. I'll be with you again with Paul Keighley and Bruce Millington.
Paddy Power are offering a money-back special in one race every day at Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival. That's one race at Goodwood and Galway every day this week. Check out our app for more information. Max free bet £10. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.